Dear friends, we have been considering from the Word of God a subject or a series of studies thinking about getting stronger spiritually. How can a Christian grow in strength? How can a Christian grow in their walk with God? And we have seen various things, various points that we ought to take to heart, each one of us. And here this evening, I want to speak to you a little from verse 5 of John chapter 2. John chapter 2 and verse 5. The words of Mary, the mother of our Lord, where she says, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." The Lord says, "Whatsoever," or Mary says of the Lord, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." This is our main text where we have this golden rule of a happy and useful Christian life. Yes, Mary was speaking at that time to people who were not believers in the Lord Jesus. But what happened afterwards by their obedience, they became happy. They were blessed people. Do we know how the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, the blessing upon any life, any service for God? Do we want our life to be well-pleasing to Him in all things? I'm sure we will say, yes, we do want that. Do we want our prayers to be answered? Are we seeking fresh and enlarged fields of service and things that we are praying for? Lord, guide me into these things. Show me thy way. Help me to know. Then we must do what he says. We can't expect the Lord to guide us if we are not willing to go and if we are not going in his way, if we are not ready to obey him. And so this command of Mary would be a good one to listen to take to heart. If we can live in obedience to this golden rule, we shall always be filled with the glory of his presence, with his power, with his blessing. Now, we are not speaking here of the fact that by us doing, we are blessed. But it is by us doing, the Lord goes with us in blessing. It is not by our works that we are saved, but it is the Christian's walk to obey the Lord and to please the Lord. So if we were to read again verses 1 through to 11, we would see this remarkable word of Mary. And she says, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." So how can she be so confident? She was very confident in this. The reason is because he was and is unique. The Lord Jesus is the Son of God. And so we can be confident as well that whatever the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to, he's calling us to obedience and he will not lead us astray. There are times that we cannot trust other people. We have maybe trusted in them at some point and we have been led astray or we have been disappointed. There have been some things in what they have said, in their suggestion or their advice, with all their desire to help us. It has failed somewhat. It has disappointed somewhat. But the Lord Jesus Christ will not disappoint. So let us think about this. Obedience to Christ. And the first thing that I want us to think about is this. Consider the fact that the Lord speaks to us. Think about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to you, to me, today. That is, not just he spoke to them then, but he speaks to us now. The things that he said to them, the things that he called them to do. In verse 7, this is what he says to them. Fill the water pots with water, and they fill them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. and so on. He speaks to us, dear friends, just as he spoke to the servants, to these servants 2,000 years ago. But how does he speak? We say just as, but how does he speak to us? Well, he speaks to us in the same way with authority. His speech, his words, his commands come to us authoritatively. That's how. So when you read the Word of God, you must see it. This is the Word of God itself. God is speaking to me. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 6 and verse 46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He says, why is it that you are calling me that I am the Lord of your life? I'm your God. And yet you're neglecting the very things that I'm telling you. So if he is Lord, then it is his sovereign right to dictate to your life and mine. And what he says is the final word on any given matter. It's not what I say, it's not what somebody else says. What the Lord says to us is the final word. So if we know him as Lord, why do we question what he says? For what he says is invested with all the authority of what he is or who he is. So his word is the final word. It comes to us authoritatively. But also, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us personally. Listen again to these words. Mary says in verse 5, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." He and you. It makes it very personal. He spoke personally to these servants. Yes, the guests didn't know what he had said, but they knew. And as you read the Word of God and as you see it, it is authoritative in your life, you begin to see God is speaking to you personally. The words come alive to you. As you look to the Lord Jesus Christ and as you trust in him, he begins to speak to you from his word. But then another thing is this. The Lord speaks to us comprehensively. Notice the word that Mary says, whatsoever, whatsoever. The Lord speaks to us about the little details of life, as well as about the big issues, the big problems of life. He speaks about the wine that has run out and other temporal things, other basic, mundane things as well. In fact, there is no detail connected with our lives about which he doesn't speak to us. So we can bring everything to God in prayer. We can search the scriptures and commit our ways to God and look to see what the Lord says on different matters. The Lord speaks to us sufficiently from the Word of God. The principles that the scripture teaches us, it is comprehensive. It affects every part of our lives. But also, let me say, he speaks to us instrumentally. We could say instrumentally, I should say. Instrumentally. That is, he speaks through others. He speaks through others. How often we hear the voice of the Lord through the wise and helpful counsel of our friends. When they open up the scriptures and they remind us of some things. They open up the principles of the Word of God. They challenge us about the Word of God and our behavior, our way of thinking. And we must recognize that if they are speaking and their words are going alongside the Word of God and they are emphasizing the same points, we must recognize the Lord often guides us through the counsel of other godly Christians. So make sure you get counsel, not from yes men, not from people who are simply on your level, but people who are more godly, more serious, more honest Christians. Read again the Word of God in various passages that encourages us to receive counsel from the godly. In Proverbs 11, verse 14, we read, where no counsel is, the people fall. Where no counsel is. The counsel here is the counsel from the word of God, the counsel from the godly. Then the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Or in Proverbs 24 and verse 6, similar words. It says, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. So the Lord speaks to us through instruments, through others. And fifthly, He speaks to us providentially. That is through the daily happenings and circumstances of our life, as it happened here. Providentially, this happened. They ran out of wine. Mary was there. The Lord was there. And so what the Lord does, He stops us in our tracks. He closes certain doors. And, oh, we wish we could go through those things, but the Lord closes them. And then He opens up other ways, and He shows us this is the right way for us. And He wants us to wait on Him. He says to us, as He said to the church there in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, He says to us, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. So there is an open door and no one can shut it. He speaks to us through what we read, through what we hear, through what we see. And if we are listening, we won't fail to hear the Lord's voice in providence. And of course, He speaks to us through His word. The Lord speaks through His word. And so, if you're confused about a matter, if you're not sure about a matter, well, be more of a person who would be reading the scriptures. You are jotting down, you're making note of things that God is speaking to you about. You're saying, Lord, I don't want my own thoughts, I want thy thoughts. In chapter 6 and verse 63, the Lord says, It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that makes alive, the Lord is saying. The flesh profiteth nothing. And then He says this, the words that I speak unto you, they are a spirit. What does that mean? They make alive. And they are life. The words that I speak unto you, they are a spirit and they are life. Friends, there is no spirit or there is no life in daily news media. You can hardly believe any of it these days. The writings of great poets or the latest novel and the latest films or whatever else it is, there you don't find the spirit and life. It's the word of God that leads you and speaks to you. The Lord supremely, of course, speaks to us in and through the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, the reading, the hearing. And anything which we feel to be His voice to us, which is contrary to His Word, is certainly not His voice. So whatever people give you as advice, you ask, where is the biblical principle? They may not be able to exactly point you to a specific verse, but they can point you to the principles. But also, of course, He speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. And you read the Acts of the Apostles. There is the constant and unerring directions that were given by the Holy Spirit, the promptings of the Holy Spirit to the servants of the Lord, as they had humbled themselves before the Lord. A proud man is not going to be prompted by the Holy Spirit, who is like a dove, gentle. But if you humble yourself, and you seek to serve the Lord and give your life to the Lord, in every way, the Lord then prompts you, directs you by His Spirit. Yes, the Lord speaks to us today, just as definitely as He did to the servants at the marriage feast of Cana in Galilee. And of course, we are not here speaking in the same sort of tone as the charismatics would do, but we shouldn't be fearful to talk about these things. The second thing is this. Consider the fact that all that the Lord says to us has a threefold relationship. It has a threefold relationship. So as we are to give ourselves to obey the Lord in all things, it has a threefold relationship here. In that it touches God. It is for His glory. When the Lord speaks to you about something from the Scriptures, it is for His glory. When the Lord speaks to you from His Word, it also touches me. It is for my good. And when the Lord speaks to you from the Scriptures, and in those things that I said, it is that it touches others. It is for their good. So it is for His glory, for my good, for others' goods. So think about these things. When the Lord said to them in verse 7, fill. In verse 8, He says, draw. And then He says, bear. What does He say? Fill, draw, bear, or carry, or take. What was that for? It was for His glory. If you look at verse 11, this is exactly what it says there. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory. So in this, He was manifesting His glory. That was the purpose of it. So that the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ would be seen, would be shown, would be displayed. And His disciples, it says, believed on Him. So we can be sure that wherever He speaks to us about something in our lives, something that He wants us to be or to do or to say, it is always for His glory. And we have to bear that in mind. This is not for my glory. This is not so that I would be lifted up. It is for His glory. So in other words, to listen to what the Lord says and to render Him full obedience will always glorify Him. You might say, well, what am I going to get out of it? Well, first thing is, He is going to be glorified. That should be enough for us. But secondly, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, fill, draw, and bear, it was for their good. It was for the servants' good. How do we know? Because it says in verse 9 that we are told that while the governor and the guests didn't know about the miracle, the servants did. They had a special knowledge. It did them good. And is it not most likely that having seen the miracle, they believed on Him? They obeyed Him, didn't they? They saw the miracle and then they went ahead and did it. Faithfully. And what a great spiritual blessing came to them when they heard the command of the Lord and when they obeyed Him. Then they were able to testify of God's goodness to them. In Deuteronomy 10 and verses 12 and 13, this is what we read. A great encouragement. Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. It says, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul. That's what the Lord desires, that we might love Him. And this is how. Everything that the Lord says to us is always for our good. It is always for our profit that we should obey the Lord. So the Lord is not going to rob you. The Lord is not going to make you a miserable person if you obey Him. Sometimes that is what people think. And what a lie of the devil that is. People think, if I serve the Lord in this, it's going to be painful. Yes, it may be painful. But the fruit of it, the result of it, will be a happy fruit. John says in 1 John 5 and verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." They're not grievous. They don't cause grief, ultimately. Then our Lord says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." But Satan would say, "No, it is hard. It is going to be heavy. If you obey the Lord, your life would be a misery. But then, as I said, when the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Fill and draw and bear to these disciples or these servants," it was for the good of everyone else that were there. Everybody at the feast benefited from the miracle that, and the result of that. When the Lord speaks to us, it is not only for his glory, it is not only for our good, but it is for the good of everybody whom we touch. In the home, in the office, wherever we are, on the field, the Lord blesses them too. The witness of the Christian becomes a blessing. Those countries in the world, those homes in the world that has more of a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, they are more blessed. They are more happy people. So those are a couple of things that we could think of. But finally, my third point is this. How should we respond to what he says? How should we respond? And all of these things you know, but it is good to see it from this passage. We should respond with prompt obedience. You read it in the scriptures, you pray over it, and then you get on and do it. Mary says, "Whatsoever," and then she says, "Do it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And so they didn't delay. They carried on with it. They didn't begin to say, "Well, let's have a meeting about this. Let's discuss this. Who is he? Where did he come from? What's his name? Who are you that you are telling us these things?" They could have a major discussion about these things. But the Lord was inclining their hearts to do this. "Whatsoever he's saying to you, you do it." John Bunyan said this, "The soul of religion," and when the old Puritans refers to religion, means Christianity. "The soul of Christianity is in the practice part, or practic part," he put it. That is the doing of it. The doing of the Word of God, the doing of the things that the Lord is calling us, is the very soul of it. Our whole duty is to do what the Lord says. And to do it not as a duty, but as a delight. That is so important. Our attitude, the way we see things. Am I doing this for so-and-so? Sometimes it is that I sometimes hear it, and I'm sure you hear it. Parents, you hear it. The children would come and say, "Mom, Dad, we did it for you." But we don't want them to do it just for me. We want to do it so that the Lord would be pleased. We want to do it when we are not watching them. Sometimes it is when we ourselves, we might go to a person and say, "Well, I've done this for you. You asked me to do it, I did it for you." Sometimes I hear it as a pastor, "I did it for you." But that's not the point, is it? Our attitude should be that we are doing things for the Lord, not for me. So there is this prompt obedience. And then secondly, we should respond with complete obedience. With complete obedience. And where do we get that from? Well, the Lord's command was, "Fill." Fill. How did they obey? They filled them up to the brim. That's how they obeyed. They did it completely. They didn't say, well, "I'll just fill it up halfway or most of the way." No. They filled it to the brim. You see, friends, there is a danger of rendering to the Lord only partial obedience. This is good enough. Whatever I'm doing, this is just good enough. People will be happy with that. But will the Lord be happy? Am I doing it for people or am I doing it for the Lord? Again, we go back to that. But the Lord demands us to obey Him fully. Is He not worthy of our complete and full obedience? Didn't our Lord Jesus Christ give Himself fully to save our souls? Did He not die fully so that we might be saved and forgiven? Does He not pray for us to the uttermost, for all who would come to Him? So there is this full obedience, complete obedience. And thirdly, we should respond with unquestioning obedience. The word is whatsoever. That means we must obey Him without any question or dispute. Fancy being told to fill the water pots with water when wine was needed. Fancy being told to bear water to the governor of the feast. Yet they gave the Lord their unquestioning obedience. There is no dispute here. There is no discussion here. And that's what we need to be praying for a contented heart, for a humble heart. If the Lord says it, then let's obey it. And then He will show us more things. Maybe I don't fully understand it right now. I am worried that maybe I will become a legalist or something of that nature. But if you do it from the heart to serve and to love the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Lord will lead you. The Lord will help you. The Lord will open up things to you that you will know and see. Friends, sooner or later, there comes to us all the every single one of us will experience this. This need of a supreme dictation. That is, of someone who will take the full responsibility of our lives and exercise His lordship over them. Our Lord Jesus Christ, dear friends, must take that place in your life and in my life. And it is His right alone to take it. He must be Lord over us. So let us humble ourselves before Him. Let us pray. Let us give thanks to Him that He is Lord. He is our Savior. And we can pray, can't we? Lord, speak to me. And we should be thankful that we've been given His Word. Imagine if you were in a country that you didn't have the Word of God. Imagine you were in a nation that the Bible was not fully translated in your language. But we have these things, so let us be thankful for the Word of God. Let us be praying that we would take the Word of God seriously as authoritative in our lives. And when we can pray that when God asks us to serve Him in some capacity, do something, He touches some things in our lives, to not wince and say, oh, this is going to make me displeased, make me unhappy, but to say, Lord, this is for Thy glory. Pray for that your heart would be that this will glorify God. I don't know how. I don't know at this moment in time how is this possible, but the Lord will glorify Himself in this. And then we can say, and also, I will benefit from it in some way, in some capacity. And your life may be very, very miserable because of this. But the Lord will be near you. That's one of the key things of His calling to obey Him. So that we will draw near to Him and He will draw near to us. But also, it will touch others too. We can pray about that. Lord, touch me, but also don't stop there. Through this, touch others. Bless others for their good. And we can pray, can't we, for the way we should respond to what He says. Lord, help me to be prompt. Help me, Lord, not to drag my feet. Help me, Lord, not to just do enough. Help me, Lord, to have the right attitude, right spirit, to do things completely. Do it for Thy glory. Do it without questioning. Do it cheerfully and joyfully. We can pray for that because there are times that we don't feel like it. There are times that we are very slow. We are tempted to give up halfway or do enough that others will be happy. Or there are doubts and fears and all kinds of questions arise in our minds and we want to have a debate about the matter. Or that we don't feel at that point in time, because of other things maybe, we don't feel happy. We are not rejoicing. We can pray about that. We can give it over to the Lord and say, Lord, I have these problems. I have these issues. I have these temptations. Lord, help me. And ultimately, all of these things, it is so that we might know the Lord more. We might glorify Him more. And to grow in strength, Christian strength. Well, I hope some of these things touches your heart and your life and it will encourage you. What Mary said was true. And what a blessing it brought. It was the first miracle of the Lord. Imagine if these people didn't obey. Imagine then that if they complained, if they did not fulfill these things. Well, humanly speaking, the Lord could have gone to others to bless others. Or He might delayed His blessing. Maybe say, Lord, I don't want the blessing to pass on to somebody else. You see, the Lord doesn't have to use me. The Lord can bypass me. He has other servants. He can bring somebody else. The Lord can say, well, I won't bless them here. I won't bless them now. I will also make them to wait. Well, there are these thoughts that we have. And let us then give thanks to God that He's willing to speak to us. He's willing to walk with us and tell us even what to do. I don't want to go on further, but there are times that we just don't know what to do in Christian life. We are like a little child who is wasting the day, and they would be much happier if they knew what to do. There's the steps, 1, 2, 3. This is what I'd like you to do now. And yet the Lord, by His grace, He does that very thing for us. And we won't go far from reading the Scriptures to know something of the Lord's will for us personally. Well, may the Lord then be praised. Let us ask the Lord.